This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Criticism, dead people everywhere at the Kabul airport, including American soldiers, that's right, troops, 13, and others wounded, that total 15 to 18, Afghans killed trying to escape the clutches of the Taliban, 60 dead and counting, and then others wounded. Suicide bombers, ISIS claiming responsibility for the attack, and the Taliban let them in as they were the first checkpoint to get into the airport. They're saying they had no idea. Do you believe them? I know they don't like ISIS, and that's partly because they have their own thing going on and their control, and this ISIS group was a spin-off or splinter group, if you will, of the Taliban. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, a very somber day as so many learned of what happened in two separate suicide bomb attacks, one at a gate, the Abbey Gate, one of the main gates, in getting people and Americans and Afghans through to get on these planes to get the hell out of Afghanistan and to get out before the 31st. And then to see that happen and to see people scrambling and trying to help and just frankly see the blood everywhere was awful. It was, as I said, chaotic. It was carnage. That's exactly what it was. The criticism is being leveled at the president. Lots of criticism, not just from Republicans, but lots of questions and criticisms from Democrats as well. And frankly, so many people who served who are watching in horror as this show continues and the meltdown continues at Kabul and at that airport specifically, those checkpoints and a hotel very close by. Make no mistake about it. The Taliban is evil. They are an enemy, as is ISIS-K, the group behind the attack. But, oh, they happen to see the U.S. and the Taliban as their enemies. Wow. So as we go down this lane, a couple of things to know. The president made some remarks. He struggled, I think, really, to address what is obviously the big volatile crisis of his presidency, the biggest one besides the pandemic, dealing with the pandemic and the Delta variant and all of that. But at the White House, he said, making it clear in his televised remarks, that the attack would not cause him to rethink his strategy, that it just reinforced his belief that the war has to end and the evacuation has to proceed. He said, "I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that has happened." And that, of course, means the personal loss, the double suicide bombing at the entrance to the Kabul airport, and you know that area and it being blown apart, that is controlled by the United States and Afghanistan for 20 years after the war began, that now, of course, is slipping away. Biden said, "To those who carried out this attack, we will not forgive, we will not forget, we will hunt you down and make you pay." He cannot make them pay soon enough. That has to happen immediately, and obviously they're looking under every rock to try to find who that, you know, they know it was ISIS-K, they took responsibility, but who specifically you can point to and hunt down. So, and this is a mass killing that opens up this president to criticism, of course, because of the hurried pace of the evacuation and the decision to pull out of Afghanistan also, and questioning that. And this is a tragedy. And this is, you know, this is a tragedy that it perhaps could have been averted if there wasn't so much exposure to the potential for this happening, because you're trusting the Taliban. You have a crazy amount of people trying to get through. You are depending on the soldiers to do what they can, and they are. They're doing an amazing job. And now they are the innocent bystanders in all of this, too. So in the polls, of course, the president's approval ratings are dropping like a stone that you throw into the water on the side of a lake, and you watch it as it just bubbles down to the bottom. And it is about accountability. And it is about the strategy and the capacity to get those out of there and to withdraw as quickly, as organized, and as best that America can. And was this our best? And did this leave us stressed and exposed? And I would say it really left us stressed and exposed. And the sacrifice of American lives at the tail end of this this deadly attack, it also ratchets up the pressure around that airport for the next few days, because the military is working feverishly to end that evacuation by August 31st. So now the expectation is ISIS-K will try to launch further attacks, and they're counting on the Taliban to not stop them with these assaults. So, you know, it's us trusting the Taliban, the fundamentalist group that now controls the country, to screen the people that are getting through to get closer in the, you know, into the airport. So do you really trust the Taliban to help American forces finish the mission so that we can leave the country? I'd say it's unlikely. I wouldn't trust them even an inch of the 50 feet it is that separates the Taliban from the American troops helping the people get on the flights at that gate. And at the other gate, there is a similar situation of panic and pandemonium and all of that. So the Afghanistan pullout plan has spiraled, my friends. It is chaotic. It is the quicksand of the Middle East that I've talked about since I started this show 15 years ago. And the Taliban quickly got rid of the government that we were backing up. And so many called it a blindsiding that it happened so rapidly. And now there's blood on our hands of these soldiers and, of course, of these people as well that got through to that point of the airport where now children were killed and families were killed and everything else mixed into that in between. So this is going to be tough. And there's going to be constant press for updates from the Pentagon until everybody's out of there. And, of course, world leaders are condemning the attack near the airport. They're not condemning Joe Biden, but they're condemning the ISIS-K group for what they did to those innocent people and the American troops. Meet you in a few.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Jeopardy ever be the same? In the world that we live in, where we're talking about the sadness and the horrible scenes that we're seeing coming out of Afghanistan, we're looking at the Delta variant and the fact that booster shots are coming up around the bend. Other people don't want to get vaccinated. There's conspiracy theories out the yang for all kinds of things that are going on in our world. And just someplace, somewhere, we need to take a breath. Whew. I just took one. You can take one, too. But Jeopardy... To me, Jeopardy reminds me of my mother. She was super smart, and she had, like, she was the whole gamut of everything, right? She was pretty, she was smart, and she was kind. And Jeopardy was her deal. She watched Jeopardy. So I watched Jeopardy when I was a kid. And Alex Trebek was the host. I mean, he was the guy that was there forever and a day, it seemed like, right? Something like 8,000 episodes. And you just knew when you heard that music, you just heard there, oh, it's Jeopardy. Yeah, it's Jeopardy. And then, the questions would be ridiculously hard, some of the categories. And you would watch as some of these contestants would just nail these things that you had no idea what they were even talking about. And then you got excited when you started to get a few of them right yourself in some of the categories. So. And then, ooh, I'm smart. I'm smart today in that category. But then, sadly, Trebek dies of pancreatic cancer in November of last year. And I think a lot of people thought there was going to be a replacement already going to step in. You know, was going to step in shortly after that. But instead, there was a lot of different celebrities that tried to fill his shoes. And in some ways, it was interesting. But then you had Mike Richards, the executive producer who had been there overseeing the process, and he was planning on hiring himself as host. But then suddenly he made some podcast appearances that surfaced from his past where he made some, well, racist and misogynistic comments that I think caught people off guard and meant, yeah, he's not going to be the host. You just knew that wasn't going to happen. So he officially announced that he was not going to be the host. He decided, yeah. The discrimination charges, allegations, all these things. No, he's not going to do it. Then Mayim Bleek was hired as the co-host, right? Like she was going to do the primetime spots for Jeopardy. So when Richard stepped down as host, but was staying on, by the way, as producer, then she was the first up that, okay, well, she could be the temporary host. So she's supposed to be the temporary host. Unfortunately, there are things that are coming up about her background, and like one of the things was her views on C-sections, right? Where she says that some women weren't meant to have babies the holistic way. And she said there are those among us who believe that if the baby can't survive a home labor, it is okay for it to pass peacefully. I do not subscribe to this, but I know that some feel that if a baby cannot make it through birth, and then it goes on and on and on. And then there are other comments that she's being tagged with that, you know, she's had to clarify she's vaccinated against COVID-19 and she's not an anti-vaxxer, but she previously admitted to not vaccinating her children. And so then that became a thing. And there's just more happening on the front of Mayim Bleek and her comments, so much so that it is also distracting. So it's more of the same, you know, questionable comments, it's more of that churn when we just want to see Jeopardy. And I read an interesting op-ed piece from somebody whose name escapes me, but it was in the Washington Post. And I thought that they nailed it. That can't we just have a Jeopardy that just centers on the contestants again? And that's it. That the game is so good, and that's what you're watching for that, right? You're not worried about who the host is or someone stealing the spotlight or shaking things up. It's an institution in television. You have expectations of just getting these crazy hard categories or easy ones or getting excited because you're nailing all the questions or whatever it is. But instead, we have all this churn of nastiness because it's not the comfort that we used to feel when we watched Alex Trebek knowing what you were getting, where sometimes he would be funny and sometimes his eyebrow would go up because he couldn't believe somebody didn't form the question right, the answer right, and didn't know the answer of Final Jeopardy, very surprised, and how much did they wager. But that was it. So you knew what you were getting. It really was about the contestants, and now it's about who is the host. So will anyone be able to fill Alex Trebek's shoes? Will anybody be able to step into a game show? And here I am on a talk show talking about a game show when there's so much serious going on in the world. But that's what we need. We need a lift, which is why in our offerings here on this show, we do a mic drop. We do a cheap movie review. We go to the man cave, which is what we're going to next. We take you to other places like Portugal at the tail end of the show because we need a lift when we're getting bombarded by sadness and things that we can't control. We can express our disappointment, our rage. We can, as I always encourage people to do, call your representatives, complain. Yes, be in the thick of it. No question about it. But you need a break, right? So that you don't become so filled with nothing but anger and rage over the lack of control and the things that are happening in the world that kills your kindness. And it gets buried. That kindness gets buried. So shows like Jeopardy could frustrate you in a different way, but you knew what you were getting, right? You knew what you were getting when you tuned into Jeopardy, and now they have also bungled that. How can you not properly vet a game show host who's going to step into a very big role when you had a show that just had such a great audience, and they knew something was happening every single time, and it wasn't that the highlight was Alex Trebek, even though he did rise to a certain amount of fame, for sure. But he made it about the game show, and they made it about the people who were replacing Alex Trebek. All right, dark days ahead. To recap, before we go to the man cave, what we've been talking about, the buzz in the backyard, in my backyard, your backyard, and everywhere else, is about Americans risking it all for this rescue mission and getting out of Afghanistan, and now 13 service members killed and dozens of Afghans as well. A horrible situation at the Kabul airport. While the Taliban was supposedly vetting the people who were at the gates, because remember, they had lists of people, apparently somebody was able to get in a suicide bomber and kill people by setting off the bomb. So now you have even more anxiety, as you have Afghans that are looking for a better future that are en masse at the airport gates waiting to be frisked by the U.S. Marine Corps at Abbey Gate, it's called, and, getting out of there as fast as possible. The crowds are pressing forward, and when they're pressing forward, then the suicide bomber was pressing forward as well, detonating his explosive belt, a second explosion rocking a hotel nearby, and then to add more insult to all of this that was happening, gunfire. People were burning alive. People couldn't breathe. It was awful. There were dead people everywhere. That's what the scene looked like. And then the full extent of the carnage became much clearer as the people were pulled away. The 13 U.S. troops that were dead, an additional 18 wounded. One of the deadly assaults on U.S. soldiers in the past two decades of conflict in Afghanistan. And the first U.S. military fatalities in Afghanistan since February 2020. Altogether, 112 people were killed, 111 injured. Pray that nobody else gets through and more people get on those planes, and Americans get on those planes, and they are out of Afghanistan as soon as possible.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is mourning the loss of the 13 service members who were killed in a bomb attack at the airport in Kabul, Afghanistan.
The lives we lost today were lives given in the service of liberty, the service of security, in the service of others, in the service of America.
He said to those who carried out the attack, "We will not forgive, we will not forget, and we will make you pay." U.S. Central Command General Kenneth McKenzie Jr. said the mission will continue.
Despite this attack, we are continuing the mission.
He said they are coordinating. He said they are coordinating with the Taliban.
They have a practical reason for wanting us to get out of here by the 31st of August. And that's they want to reclaim the airfield. We want to get out by that day, too, if it's going to be possible to do so. So we share a common purpose.
This is USA Radio News. As tens of thousands of Afghans flee the Taliban in terror, a few families rejoiced as they marked a very special event in their lives. USA's John Clemens explains.
So far, three babies have been born as their parents sought freedom from the Taliban in Afghanistan. During a briefing at the Pentagon, Air Force General Todd D. Walters spoke about a special one.
We've had further conversations with the mom and the dad of the baby that was born on the C-17 inbound to Ramstein. They named the little girl Reach, and they did so because the call sign of the C-17 aircraft that flew them from Qatar to Ramstein was Reach. That child's name will forever be Reach, and as you can well imagine, being an Air Force fighter pilot, it's my dream to watch that young child called Reach grow up and be a U.S. citizen and fly United States Air Force fighters in our Air Force. Over.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health, order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave.
Welcome to the Man Cave. Boy, there's a ton to talk about. If all of us were sitting around eating our Cheetos healthy food, those vegetables I cut up, we would be talking about, I think, this young woman, 17 years old, Anastasia Pagonis. She won Team USA's first Paralympic gold in Tokyo, and she put in a world record performance, just an amazing performance. So what did she do? She swam a time of 4:54.49 to win gold. She was 10.85 seconds ahead of the rest of the field. And again, it shattered the Paralympic record she set earlier that day when she won her heat. So that was 26.6 seconds faster than the runner-up. I love what she said afterward. She said, "I love being able to bond with my teammates and have this experience with all of them." And she said, "If you told me a few years ago, I wouldn't even think I'd be alive. So just to be here and to be able to have this experience, this is unbelievable." So her story is, she's a Long Island girl who grew up playing soccer, and she said she was getting kicked in the face too much with a soccer ball, and at the age of 12 she started losing her vision. So a doctor suggested swimming. When she started, she had some visual awareness, a little bit of it, but she was considered legally blind. By 2018, her vision deteriorated, and she was diagnosed with a disease that pretty much said she was, she was blind. She was depressed. She questioned if she could be alive, and she found hope. Now she's got 2 million followers on TikTok. She's got a guide dog, Radar, a Labrador Retriever, trained for 2 years by the Guide Dog Foundation and the New York Islanders. How cool is that? She went back into the pool. Her parents found a coach willing to work with her, and now she's a gold medal winner. Wow, I love her story. She still has more to go, competition-wise, but what a fabulous story, and we need something to lift us up, right? So Anastasia lifted us up. You know, hearing that she worked hard, and just didn't give up, a blind teenager, and she wins USA's first, as I said, Paralympic gold with a world record swim. Love it. All right, COVID protocols are being broken, or some of the players in the NFL don't want to be vaccinated, and that's causing some problems for teams because we know that the NFL's got a pretty stringent policy that they've put in place. Buffalo Bills wide receivers Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley, the former Cowboy, disclosed they were fined for violating the COVID-19 protocol. McKenzie tweeted out a picture of the letter he was sent by the NFL documenting the violations. He said in a subsequent tweet he was fined $14,650. He wrote, "They got me at NFL, you win." Beasley didn't disclose how much he was fined, but he did say in a tweet he was disciplined for not wearing a mask. Five steps from the entry door to the locker room after wearing it the whole day. So he was making a snarky comeback on that. And the Bills coach, Sean McDermott, said it's unfortunate when players get fined. But he said, that being said, these rules have been agreed upon and they're in place. And they're communicated and they've been communicated for some time. So it's important that we focus on being safe and healthy. That's number one. That's always been number one. And then number two is doing our best to stay focused on the goal and the purpose of why we're here, which is to win football games. So in the case of McKenzie's discipline, that's after he failed to wear a mask in the team facility on a bunch of different occasions, and once while walking through the indoor field house into the training room and again in the meeting area of the weight room. So fair or foul, what the coach said, I think, is right on. The players' union agreed to it, and this is what they came up with, the NFL. So this is the policy. They're going to find you, and they're going to find you, and they're going to fine you if they do. And, you know, at this point, I mean, there are players that aren't vaccinated. In the case of Beasley, he's been very vocal. He's opposed to the NFL protocols for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. And he tweeted out his support of his teammate, McKenzie. And he said, "Don't worry, they got me too, but I was wearing a mask when I was in close contact with a fully vaxxed trainer who tested positive and still got sent home." So then he said, "So what's the point of the mask anyway? Meanwhile, I'm still testing negative and I can't come back. Make it make sense." That's what he said. The coach of the Bills, McDermott, said about 81% of the team is fully vaccinated. Buffalo has placed three players on the reserve COVID-19 list due to positive tests this season, and that included starting left tackle Deion Dawkins. So this is something that I think we're going to be talking about, especially in the beginning of the season, but maybe throughout the season, because there are going to be these protocols, and with the Delta variant and younger players and, you know, who knows, exposure, I don't think that this is, there's a magic wand that's going to be waved, because this is what they agreed upon, so that's what is in place. Well, it's interesting because Cam Newton returned to the Patriots from his COVID protocol, and Bill Belichick, his coach, says he didn't violate team rules. So he was there on Thursday. He practiced after missing three straight days because of what they say is a misunderstanding. And Belichick said he did not violate rules. He said that the club approved Newton leaving the New England area for a medical appointment. And so he doesn't understand how a misunderstanding occurred, because that's why he was in the COVID protocols. So, you know, Thursday is the Patriots' final practice, like so many others, of training camp. And then the team visits the Giants in the preseason finale on Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern. Hard to believe preseason is wrapping up. Wow. Now, on the other hand, quarterback Ryan Tannehill was among nine players from the Tennessee Titans that tested positive for COVID-19. So now you start to look at the timeline for starting the season, and this is the concern, is
doing the math and figuring how close you are to the beginning of the season, what happens with the players. And again, this is something that's going to be talked about, I think, over and over and over this season. Not like we're not used to it, period, but it absolutely will be something that's out there, and that will affect your fantasy teams. If you have a fantasy team, it will affect your real team. If you're rooting for a team, if you hate football and don't care, then you're probably not really hanging out with us in the man cave, unless you wanted to talk about some of the other fabulous stories we've talked about that have nothing to do with the NFL. All right, there's nothing like seeing an end to a long game when the home team wins. But when you're staying there and your team loses, the Dodgers outlasted the San Diego Padres in 16 innings. And this was A.J. Pollock with a two-run homer that ended it all. So Fernando Tatis Jr., probably frustrated from all that time out in the outfield, cracked a little bit of a smile as he hit third base on his home run trot on Wednesday on a game that bled into Thursday morning. So it's like, woohoo, time to go to Denny's because we're all going to get breakfast. But the Padres at that point hadn't produced a hit in 10 innings and hadn't had a single extra base hit in a game that by a point that had reached the bottom of the 15th. So just crazy. And so he was 0-for-6 on that night, and he was in a 1-for-24 slump. And he hit a tying two-run homer after the Dodgers finally broke through with a couple of runs. But in the end, A.J. Pollock, as I mentioned, he was the hero in another crazy one of those games, because this is a big rivalry. And he smacked a two-run homer to lead off the top of the 16th, and he sent the Dodgers into, you know, a 5-3 victory from Petco Park. Woohoo! Time to celebrate for them, not for the home team. Like I said, such a crazy thing when you're sitting there through all of that and your team doesn't win, right? So, you know, that's the breaks, as they say. That's the breaks. All right, looking at some of what's happening with the NBA, we'd be talking about who's going to be there next year, who's not going to be there next year, kind of thing. And Ben Simmons is one of those players for Philadelphia, because Philadelphia was very close to getting all the way through the East and into the finals, and a lot of people are putting a lot of his misses, especially at the free throw line, they're putting that on his shoulders, some of the shots that he missed. And so it's kind of a question. Training camp's a month away, and this is one of the big things in the NBA that's talked about. Again, players that are going to be there, players that aren't going to be there. And, you know, you look at also some of the other shakeups and even crazy things like uniforms. You know, the Phoenix Suns. It seems like, to me, for the Phoenix Suns, because we have people listening in Arizona, what is happening, people, with the Suns unis? They've got a new uniform concept, they say, based on Aztec symbolism, and it's kind of getting some mixed reaction. They say it's a tribute to early ancestors of the Valley, our Mexican and Mexican-American fans, and the warrior spirit that we bring to battle every day. So it's like it's got the Aztecs, sun, and stone, basically. And it's, I don't know, I think it's okay. You have to go check it out. This is radio. So on the front of the jersey, you got the Death Stone on the back and a Jag armor on the pants legs. I don't know. Some people are complaining. We'll see. We'll see if it really stays. All right, the door is closing on the Man Cave. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Hey, we're going to Portugal next. I'm going to introduce you to a really cool guy. Stay with us. Do you feel like
like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, I kind of wish I was where our next guest is. He's in Portugal, he says, where nobody is and nobody else wants to be. But I would say I would love to be lost in Portugal. And this is radio, but I'll describe the background. It looks so beautiful behind him. Gavin Moles has written a book called Forbidden Places, Strange Faces, and he has a really interesting story to tell. Gavin, I love that we're connecting with you remotely. Thanks for coming on. What led you to writing the book?
So basically the journey was about challenging myself, and I wrote to my family saying, hey, look, I need to experience something, because if I don't, I'll kill myself. I was that depressed. And so I went out there on an impossible journey to wake myself up. Basically, that's what it was about. And I had so many incredible coincidences, if you call them that, spiritual encounters. And it was the wake-up that I actually needed. And I got back and I wrote the book straight away from notes without pause, beginning to end, to try to inspire people, saying, hey, look, don't give up. Magic will happen if you dare to try, if you challenge yourself. Just don't give up.
And that's where I am now. I love that. I think it's so inspirational because of what could have happened to you. So you felt alive. Yeah. You felt alive on these adventures. Tell us about one of the adventures.
The one particular moment, I'd already done a lot of walking and hitchhiking up to the border of Tibet. I was far north in China that I could get to. And everybody said, you'll not go any further. It's winter is approaching. Nobody will sell you a bus ticket. You're not allowed. They are fearful of the Chinese police. Nobody will help you. And I started walking on this road towards Tibet. And the one morning, it was so cold, maybe it's minus 20, and the atmosphere was sparkling. It was that cold. I could see the Himalayas in the distance, and I stopped. And I just looked at it, got my rucksack on, and suddenly I was filled with this energy, this unbelievable feeling of, like, I'm going to be okay. Just start walking. And I can't, I've never had it since this, something happened. And I started walking, a few guys picked me up, and then finally the third car that stopped picked me up, and they were these Tibetans. And in their culture, they are committed to help people. It's part of their belief. I learned that after the fact. But they took me all the way through this crazy road, hid me under the checkpoints to get me there. And I kind of made it. It's a long story. A lot of things happened in between. But these things happen constantly. When you're in that frame of mind, when you don't care, when there's you're lost. You challenge yourself, your God. And things seem to happen. It was unbelievable, the coincidences. And I hated God before this, and now it's the only thing that I can use to describe what happened to me. So it restored my faith, and it's with me today.
I love that. And your sense of adventure. So even being in Portugal, I mean, I think it seems like you're that seeker that you go on these quests, and it really fuels your soul. Am I right?
Exactly. It never stops. That gave me so much energy and confirmations. It's still with me. Even now, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of living. That's the important thing. And that's the message I wanted to give out with the book. Hey, don't give up. Miracles do happen.
And so you come back, and as you describe, it's a miracle, it's like magic. You write the book, and when people read Forbidden Places, you know, Strange Places, what do you, and you've said it, you've weaved it into this conversation, but ultimately, what do you really hope people take away from reading your book and reading what happened to you?
Not to give up, and to give them ideas to maybe they even want to travel themselves. You know, maybe it gives them those ideas about these other cultures and philosophies and ideas, and to challenge them. You know, if you feel bored or stuck, change it. Change your situation. Do not be afraid. Take that leap of faith. You'll be surprised what will happen. That's the message.
Yeah. How much richer is your life now, and how much different is your life from before you took this adventure and before you wrote this book?
It doesn't stop. It's incredible. I have so much. People say, you're lucky. God, things just seem to happen for you. It's because I'm not afraid, because of what I've done, because of what I've gone through. You know, that's the biggest thing. I'm loving life. I'm always being surprised by it. I'm always being given rewards that it's impossible to describe until you experience it for yourself.
And I like that you're getting the rewards, and there is something about it. Instead of, you know, I have a saying, it's like live life or life will live you. And that's what happens. People let life happen to them, right?
It's when you expect nothing back. You give everything, but you expect nothing back. That's when God comes out from hiding. And many people, I talk to them about God, and they challenge God, saying, yeah, but he doesn't do anything, and the world's shit, and this, that, and the other, and I feel crap. Hey, you've got to take that leap of faith first. Then he comes and meet you halfway. Then the magic happens. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
definitely.
Magic.
Anyway. Yeah.
So for people that knew you before and family and now seeing you after the book, etc., what do they say? They must notice the change.
They think I'm more crazy than ever. They don't understand. Honestly, yeah, I'm like this crazy character, but until you've actually done these things yourself, it's just dogma. When I try to describe these things to people, it just sounds like science fiction or fantasy or dogma. And I say to them, I can't describe to you what's happened. You have to experience it for yourself. Experience cannot be taught. It can only be experienced.
Yeah. And so you've done the things like, wow, with, you know, talking about seeing the Himalayas in the distance, of all the places that you went and of all the magic that happened. And that was a great story. Was that the best? I mean, I know it's hard to boil it down, but of everything you describe in the book, what was the best moment?
It was that moment on that road, the uncertainty, the negativity I got from everybody saying, do not go any further. You will not make it. Winter's coming. You're not going to ride. No Chinese people will help you because they're so afraid of helping a foreigner. You're not allowed to be there. Everybody knows that. You will not make it. It was maybe 3,000 kilometers of road ahead of me. No guest houses. I haven't got the money to stay in them anyway. Just a tent and a rucksack and a bit of food. I could have starved, anything. But I took that leap of faith and the magic happened. That was my best moment. There's too many best moments, but that for me, that's when I really felt the power of faith and God.
I love that. Wow, what a place to end this. Will you write another book about what's happening now?
I've started another one because after that I cycled to India alone. And it was a little bit more organized than this last adventure because of this particular frame of mind I was in. I was depressed. I didn't care if I lived or died. That's when the magic happened. This next journey with the bicycle to India, I was more organized. I was happy, of course. So less fantastic things happened, but for a normal person, they were fantastic. But I was comparing on what's happened before. So, although it was a very interesting journey, there's not quite the same content as this book, if you understand.
Yeah, I absolutely understand. It's so fascinating to talk to you, too, there in Portugal. What is it, where you are now, I'd be remiss not to describe that to people. What's it like where you are in Portugal?
I have no neighbors. I'm absolutely in the middle of nature because I have this passion for nature. Because the way I've traveled, by bicycle, by walking, with tent, and I always look for places to camp in nature. I'm used to that. I love peace and quiet because of that, and this, for me, it has everything. It's silent. It's like being in the Himalayas. That's the most impressionable thing I remember from the Himalayas. The silence was deafening. If you can imagine that, I can't describe it. It's the most silent place I've ever been. I can imagine why these Tibetans, these meditation masters go there. There's absolutely nothing. Not a breath of wind, no bird, nothing. It's absolutely silent. And that, for me, is where I'm living now in Portugal, in the hills, in the wild. It's like that. It's really peaceful. That's what I like.
Well, I love it. And the book is fascinating. Forbidden Places, Strange Faces. Gavin Moles, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, nice to talk to you. I'm glad you connected. Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.